to go back again to 1 John chapter 4 for a little while, and then I'm going to go somewhere else, I think. Excuse me. Left off in verse 6, 1 John chapter 4. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, I talked about this a month ago, a few weeks ago. Believers are the only ones who can know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The world knows the spirit of error. They just don't know it as the spirit of error.
Right, that's right.
The world just knows what it knows. Believers used to be there. And now we know the spirit of truth. And when you put it down, if you really want to put it down, if you know the spirit of truth and you know the spirit of error, it's not really hard to figure out which one to pay attention to. But if you don't know, you don't know. And the world doesn't know. And it says it. He that is not of God heareth not us. They hear the spirit of error. They know the spirit of error. They don't know the spirit of truth. They don't know the words of truth. They do not know the Christ of the Bible. Believers know. And we know both. Because we've been with both. And believe me, if you don't believe anything else, it's better to know the spirit of truth than it is the spirit of error. By God's grace, I know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I think I said it last week, or last time I was here. There's a word Paul uses called delusion. Strong delusion that they should believe the lie. That's what the world is under right now. And that's why the world will not, and not only will not, cannot hear us. They will not have it. They cannot have it. They will not have this man to reign over them. And if you want to just knock off the last little bit of that, Walter, they will not have this man. The Christ of God. As our old used to say, Adam Kedmon, the God man. They won't have him because they don't know him. And it really doesn't matter what kind of error, because there are, it is one spirit of error, but for my experience, there's two types. You got religious error, and then you have secular error. And it doesn't matter either way. I'm going to tell you something. The religious people who believe the religious error, that God's done all he can do and now it's up to you, they will hate you so badly they will want to see you dead. And some of them would be willing, if they could get away with, to help them. And this should be no small surprise. Because they hated Christ long before they ever hated us. That's what Christ said. Marvel not if the world hates you. They hated me before they hated you. And it's their hate for him that makes them hate you.
Right, that's it.
Now, granted, I may be obnoxious at times. It has been known to happen. Let's just put it that way. And Debbie, be quiet. But you speak of the truth of God in Jesus Christ, that he has saved his people from their sins. They are saved. They are redeemed. You know, they still got that sign up at that church down in Princeton. They're real happy with that. That Jesus is making the list and he's checking it twice. Is your name in the book of life? The book of life's been written from before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in God, by God, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Religious people hate that because they want something to do. They want credit for what they have done or given up or whatever. Whereas true believers know anything we have done, anything we do, anything we will do is because of him who puts in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He gets the credit. I don't. There is no boasting in Christ. There will never be any boasting in Christ. It's his work. Even the fact that we know the Spirit of truth is his gift. Even the fact that we know the spirit of error is his gift. Let's go back to, where I want to go back to, John chapter 14. I said it, I think, a few weeks ago. That, you know, I've been hated by some and pitied by others. The hatred comes from the religious angle. The pity comes from the secular. They feel sorry for me because they think I'm trapped. And they will tell me and have told me in places, I can't believe anything on blind faith. And that's what they think I do. And that's what they think you do. You're relying on blind faith. No, actually, we're the only ones who aren't blind. We're the only ones who can see both the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. My faith is anything but blind. What they don't understand is that you may have been where they used to be. And I can understand them pretty well. Because I used to be that way. I used to be irreligious. I was not born and raised, or if it, you know, I went to, you know, church every Sunday because they made me. But I wasn't born and raised in religion. You went to church on Sunday, you forgot about it by Sunday afternoon. That's the way it was for me. I know the scientific arguments, but I also know some of the holes in them. But they think that our faith is blind, whereas we are the only ones. Believers are the only ones whose eyes have been opened. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to stop right there. See, I got into some of this way back during Christmas. Because usually after Thanksgiving and before Christmas, on a lot of these billboards around these churches, at least in Princeton, you'll see joy to the world, peace to earth, you know, peace be unto you, brother. This is the promise of Christ to his people. Peace he left with us. Then the world will say, well, he gives us peace. That's not what he said. That's not the way he said it. Christ doesn't just give us peace. Christ said, I will give you my peace. My peace. Because of him, because of the peace of Christ which he has given to me, I have peace with God. And far more importantly, God has peace with me. This is a gift from God to his chosen, regenerated, and converted people. We are at peace with God, because we have been given the peace of Christ. Now, I may not feel very peaceable. I may not feel like I am at peace. But it doesn't matter how I feel. This is the peace of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. His peace is just like his love. And his peace is just like his faith. His peace is perfect. I don't have to struggle for salvation. My salvation has been accomplished in him. I am at peace that way, whether I know it at the moment or not. There is a rest for the people of God in Christ. There is a peace, his peace, in each and every child of God. He promised it the same time he promised to send the Comforter. We got it. And you know how I know we got it? He says, he tells, I love this part here, Walter. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. How's he give it to you? Not as the world giveth. Very simple. See, if I give you something, I have to depend upon you to receive it. If God gives you something, you've got it. Amen. And that goes for life, that goes for faith, that goes for peace, goes for love. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And when the Father gives a gift, you've got it. Even if I don't feel it, even if I don't know it, I still have peace. When Christ gives, not as the world, the recipient has the gift. Just as he gives life to whom he will, he gives his peace to whom he will. It's his peace that he gives. It's not my peace. And I'm thankful for that, because my peace, is dependent upon circumstances. I've had one of the rottenest weeks in this world that I've had. I went to the doctor Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday I went to one doctor, Wednesday I went to another doctor, Friday I went to the hospital for a heart stress test. It's been a bad week, and I've been passing kidney stones here and there in between all this. I don't feel like I'm at peace. I certainly didn't feel that way on that treadmill. You sit there and you watch that little monitor and your heart rate goes up to 140 beats a minute. And I'm thinking, that's too high. Mason, I want to be sitting on that couch. And sweat starts to break out on your forehead and the doctor's over there making little quippy remarks. And of course, I give pretty much as good as I get. So he turned it up again. Even while in the midst of that, I still have the peace of Christ. It's not dependent upon my circumstance. It's not dependent upon, thank God, it's not dependent upon my attitude. It's not dependent upon me anyway. It's dependent upon God. It's dependent upon Christ. It's His peace. It's not my life, it's His peace. It's not my circumstances, it's His peace, and I have it. I am no longer at war with God. I don't want to be. And thankfully, God is no longer mad at me. It says He's angry with the wicked every day. I'm glad it said the wicked and didn't say the sinner. Because I still sin. But Jesus Christ has made peace between God and His people. And Jesus Christ has given us His peace. It's not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon Christ Himself. He's perfect. I'm not. Sometimes I do actually feel pretty good. Just not this past week. But that doesn't make me good. That doesn't give me peace. Christ gives peace. I've been given peace by Christ, peace with God. Even if I get angry at God for circumstances. Not that that ever happens. Not that it's ever been known to happen. He is at peace with me in Christ. The peace that Christ gives is perfect, but it doesn't make me perfect according to the flesh. I am at peace with the work of God in Christ. I am at peace with the Spirit of truth. The world isn't. I am at peace with the Spirit of truth, and I know the spirit of error. I am not at war with God, Christ, the Spirit, or the truth anymore. I used to be. It is because of the life that He has given. It is because of His Spirit that He has given. It is because of the revelation of Himself in the Scriptures that He has given. It is because of His peace, which He has given, that I can see the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It is because believers can see both the spirit of truth and the spirit of error that we can and we do love God as He is revealed in these scriptures. There are people who can read this book. Well, there are people who can try to read this book. They'll stay away from hard places like Romans 9. And they'll fight to death with Romans 7, Mason. See, there's two kinds of well, there's more than two, but there's a couple of kinds of professing Christians. Let's just put it that way. They have a problem with Romans 7. Either that all took part in the past, or they're always going to struggle to keep saved. Yeah. That's not what it's talking about. Salvation was accomplished in Christ. Redemption was purchased on the tree at Calvary. The offering was accepted from the Son to the Father. Redemption is done. Now He gives life and He gives us His peace. And now believers know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And we are the only ones who can. And the world will not hear us. I'll go back to 1 John. That's why John starts this chapter, verse 1 of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Believers are the only ones who can try the spirit. Because believers are the only ones who know the spirit. Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And there are many false prophets gone out into the world. And then he ends in verse 6 there. He says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Continues on verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. That's another thing the spirit of peace is good for. His peace is good for. We can love Him and we can love those who love Him. I don't have to love everybody, and I thank God for that, because I don't. I'm serious. There are some people I really don't like. But if you know Christ, if you love Christ, I want to know you. I don't understand that. I mean, that is seriously, that was a total 180 from the way I used to be. But it's true. There is nothing like talking to a believer who knows Christ, and there's nothing like talking to that believer who knows Christ about Christ. Yeah. To talk to someone whom God has saved the way He saved you is one of the greatest blessings we have on this earth. And Walter, that's part of that peace of Christ.
Sure is.
That's part of the peace of God. The peace that Christ gave us. His peace. I'm not at war with His people. And I'm not at war with God. Mm-hmm. Now, religious people can still irritate the dickens out of me. But it's okay, and that usually in that realm, I can give better than they can give. Or at least I can give as well as I can get. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Amen. For God is love. This is what all this has to do with. The family of God. Paul's writing, John's writing to the family of God here. To try the spirits. To know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, because we are the only ones who can. We are the only ones who do. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. This is verse 9. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Jesus Christ did not come because we loved him so much. Jesus Christ did not come because man loved him into existence. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And God's love has an action. God's love has a result. He sent his Son to be the propitiation, the mercy seat, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, true love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. That's the message. It is a perfect message. Unfortunately, we're not perfect. The reason, I don't know if I'm going to say the reason, one of the reasons why I stand here is because of the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. They're both in the world, and I can see both of them. The world can't. The message that we have is not for the unregenerate. I've got nothing for that. I can't help them. The only message that we have is for the people of God. Amen. That God has already made alive. They'll hear us. They'll hear us. The world won't hear us. but those whom God has chosen from before the foundation of the world, those that God hath given life, they will hear. And they may fight, they may struggle, they may reject at first. They may not like it, but they'll hear it. And they'll come to know it, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And they'll come to love the truth of God as it is in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it more than once. Yeah. I've not seen it often enough. I'd like to see it a lot more. But that's the only people that we have words for. Believers. That's all. And I didn't make that division. God did. I'm not keeping that division alive, Mason. Y'all are keeping everybody separate. No, trust me, they left us. They've walked out the door way too many times. But we're still here. Because we want to be here. I want to be here. And by God's grace, we'll be here. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time and this place, which we set aside to try to worship you in spirit and in truth. I ask that you be with Walter when he comes to preach the word of God, the words of Christ in love to his people, your family, my family. In Christ's name, I pray.